Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Films and Narcitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 603. Hold on to your hats, people. The not necessarily the box office report for the week ending. Do they ever end? Do weeks ever end anymore?
At this point, no. I don't even know what month we're in.
September 6th. I only know it's September because it's my birthday.
I thought we were on like March 250th,
something like that. Yeah. So, we've been saying not necessarily the box office report that predates COVID, but it's never been more true than now. So, right. Before we dig in, let's go around the virtual table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. And we might or might not have a guest joining us. We have a guest who's supposed to be chiming in from Mulan, and they seem to be running a little bit late. They were also going to join us for the not necessarily the box office report. So if they pop up midway, we're gonna bring them on. So
yeah,
just brace people for that.
They were like, not necessarily. I came on for the full box office report experience. If you're gonna bring me in for this crap.
He was probably like, oh, I thought it just meant I didn't necessarily have to be
have
there
to
for
be
it.
On.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Steven Spielberg has a very limited amount of time. Right. You know, yeah. Like that's the way that is. I get it. It's okay.
Well, that's the thing, though. But if Steven Spielberg did this episode, he was going to stick around for the next. But we have a backup that will only do Mulan.
Correct.
So
yeah,
we
correct.
Might end up with our second choice.
David Fincher is going to be on the next episode. It's going to be great.
So shameless plugs. Don't forget, we are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeart, TuneIn. Wherever you find your podcast, you can find us. While you're there, be sure and subscribe so you never miss an episode. You can also check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, and you can also join the League of Show Sharers. One of the easiest ways you can help the show is to just share an episode. So people who were kind
of Tom will read your name every single week, guaranteed.
Unless
no
Facebook
chance
changes their privacy settings. So, so here are people who I should say a list of people. But not necessarily limited to these people who shared the episode this week. Yeah. Ralph Tribble, Glenn Cougar, Mellon Brewer, Tammy Sherman Powers, Julianne Jordan, Gabriel Lugo, Tom Comiskey, Carl Clarkson, Chris Williams, Chris Magic Man, Lane Levanway, Ryan L. Terry, Jason Weesey, Heather Sachs, and Chris Valls. And if I'm missing you and you've been sharing it, maybe reach out. That Facebook made a bunch of changes, and it's a lot harder to find people who have shared something now. So
it's true,
we appreciate
it. God forbid
patience.
We make social media a simple,
yes,
user accessible platform.
But don't feel singled out. We're not deliberately ignoring you. So and then also don't forget we have a Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month you get all sorts of bonus content and you help out. We recently had to purchase all sorts of new equipment, a new computer, a new board, a new the whole thing. We had to rebuild it from the ground up so it would continue to sound as good as it does. So so thank you for the people that chip in every month. We greatly appreciate it. And there's a fine example of what your money goes to, not just pizza parties at the bowl. Because
wait,
we all
what?
Get the Rona.
Joe's never been invited to the pizza parties at the bowling alley, Tom.
The really sad thing is, we still invite Blake.
No, the thing is, Blake is the only one at the bowling alley. We've actually never been invited. That's the ironic part.
He has salsa parties. So there's all that, I guess. So do we actually have some sort of numbers to discuss?
So there actually is, for the first time that I've seen in a long time, a weekend forecast for the box office. So these are estimates based on their tracking. We don't have final numbers. I mean, of course, we record during the weekend anyway.
Right.
So we always had estimates.
It's also a holiday weekend.
Well, in that case, Kevin has his, how do we pronounce this name? Bacchus?
Abacus. Abacus.
Jim Bacchus? Thurston Howell III? Kevin has his abacus at the ready, Kevin.
I do, Tom, and I think it's no surprise the New Mutants has completely wiped out Tenet. It saved cinema. I don't know what they were thinking with that Tenet in theaters things, because the New Mutants with $150 million this weekend during a global pandemic.
I was like, what's happening right now?
No, this weekend, of course, Tenet finally hit theaters in the U.S. It opened overseas, pretty much everywhere else in the world, or a lot of the main territories previously. But this weekend, it's in the U.S., and they are estimating that the four-day weekend will be $24.5 million. So pretty much right on the money for what we discussed last week, thinking it would be in the $25 to $30 million range. Now, the asterisk on there is that basically Tenet opened Monday. So it's a 4-day weekend, but Tenet's going to be open for 7 days. So
it's a week.
So they say that through September 7th, it's going to be estimated to total $35 million in its first week. So it's a little confusing. Not like the release slate for Tenet has been confusing anytime before now. So get prepared for some confusion around Tenet. And we haven't even talked about the movie yet. So about $25 million for the 4-day, but $35 million including all those previews, which the previews were like Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and they may have even had some day screenings. It's just they're trying to roll it out in a really strange way, to where they didn't do, because of the pandemic, they didn't do a lot of sneak previews like through the marketing companies. So I guess they were like, well, we'll just have our own previews, and those are, you buy tickets and go to,
that's
like,
just
it's
called
this
opening your movie.
Yeah, it's, right. That's not a sneak preview.
I know. So they were actually calling them advanced or sneak preview. I can't remember the terminology, but something like that. And it's like, yeah, I don't know about that. That's interesting. But if you think about it, when we weren't in the pandemic, it wasn't exactly like 3 days running up into the release, but remember they would do like a Saturday the week before the release date?
Yep. And almost all the movies now, back when there were regular times, but, All the movies did a soft open on Thursday night. They would still image it as if it opened on Friday, but there was almost always a 7 p.m. screening on Thursday night.
Right, exactly. And even New Mutants last week when they did that, it's been 2 weeks now, but New Mutants did the same kind of thing where they still held to the Thursday night screenings. But yeah, this is the Wild West. They're figuring out all new ways to release movies. We talked, of course, about Bill and Ted. The Bill and Ted Face the Music was the new one that came out last weekend, and that was a dual theatrical for theaters that are open, and a lot of drive-ins had it, and VOD. And so it's like they're splitting theatrical and VOD. Some countries are getting theatrical because they're open, but the U.S. is only getting VOD. Warner Brothers is the only one so far, I think. Well, I guess that's not true. The only major release has been Warner Brothers, because the Unhinged movie with Russell Crowe, that was a theatrical only.
Man, why would they do, of all the movies you could put out, that's the one you're going to throw out in theaters?
Why? Because after this weekend, it will already have made $12 million?
Well, never mind.
I mean, during a pandemic?
I don't know that movie would have made appreciably more.
No, probably not.
Normally, it's late August. It's a pretty, down and dirty little thriller. I don't know that it would have. I think that's probably about what it would have made anyway.
Is this on the idea of the down and dirty thriller? Is this the time of year where we've been getting those kind of throwbacky, '80s, mid, early '90s thrillers? Like, remember we had those run of those movies for a second, where we would get I hate to call them schlocky, but I don't know, what was the one with J-Lo where she was.
So that was in January, I believe.
Okay, okay. I just feel like we were getting like one or two of those.
I feel like you tend to see those either in like first quarter or like in that lull of summer before we start ramping back up for
the Oscars,
the Christmas and Thanksgiving season box office.
Right.
I guess like, it fits here too.
Yeah, it doesn't want to compete with summer movies, but it's not quite what used to be a January movie.
Right.
But now the game has changed with, you know, January movies and especially February movies. And I was talking about this online actually with Ryan Terry, friend of the show and one of the show sharers, where he was saying, well, there's a precedent for January being the dumpy ground. And we've always known that. But
sure.
There have been exceptions to the rule, and noticeably more and more as recent years have shown us. And so I feel like now it's just smart strategy. It's like playing Moneyball with the movie releases.
Yeah.
Why would you go up against now that, I mean, in theory, when it's not a pandemic and you have three Marvel movies and four DC movies, you know, so big superhero stuff's coming out every month. And then you're talking about other big blockbuster movies outside of that and franchise films. And why go up against those when you could pick January? And who cares if it used to be known as the dumping ground? Like if you have a star attached or a property people are excited for, put it there, no competition.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's exactly what Unhinged did. Like Tom said, I don't think it would have made more. I mean, it probably made more now because it was all that was out.
Yeah.
That's, right? It's the Paul Blart rule, right?
Oh, but what, you'll have to explain that.
Well,
one.
I mean, like
that's
that,
when Paul
that movie,
Blart came out was in
yeah,
January.
Paul Blart, like they timed it perfectly.
Did that?
Where there was nothing coming out and it made like a ridiculous amount of money.
Okay.
Enough to justify a Paul Blart 2.
And I think there's a direct-to-video third one.
Is there?
Is there really?
I thought maybe not. I could have sworn there was like another Paul Blart movie with not Kevin James.
Oh, I don't know.
Like Larry the Cable Guy is Paul Blart.
Right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, right, right, right.
I told you guys, I think a couple years ago, that Jingle All the Way 2 starring Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah.
Of course. Larry the Cable Guy was very popular in the direct-to-DVD market.
So anyway, I don't know. But so going back to Tenet, $25 million for a 4-day weekend. I mean, for a movie that had a $250 million budget or whatever, you know how they kept bouncing around with that. But obviously, it's not a huge take. But I mean, for the time that we're in, I guess it's decent. It's just such a strange. They're hoping this thing will have so much legs. I'll tell you what, I looked up the long range tracking. So if you go to Box Office Pro, let me scroll down to the very bottom here. I saw they had, and this was just as of, I think, a week ago. So this is a current tracking update. They have it tracking to do 150 to 300 million domestic total.
In its entire run?
It opened to 25. Like,
it's not
how long
happen.
Are
There's
they
no
waiting?
Way.
How long do they? But, you know, Warner Brothers said this is going to be such a strange release because of movie theaters being closed. They're going to launch Tenet, but they're going to hopefully, you know, in theory, they're going to keep it around longer. And then I think their goal is to keep it around so long that things get better and then people can finally get to the theater to see it. Whereas that group is, you know, the group that wanted to stay home will have not seen it yet. But
it's going to be a long time.
Yeah, man, you're looking at like next year. I honestly, I don't see this given, you know, in this country currently, this isn't getting better.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, is it getting worse? Probably not. Is it staying the same, which is not good? Yes.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not getting better. It's not getting worse, but we're just, you know, of all the times for us to, like, go to the baseline, this is not the time to be at the baseline for this thing. But I don't know. Like, it's just, I think depending on what Mulan does, I could see them. Here's my question, though, basically. What does next year look like?
With every movie?
Right? Like, next year is going to be overloaded, you know? Everything's going to next year. Like, nothing went to 2022, right?
Yeah, I mean, the stuff from 2020 that they pushed off was pretty much all 2021.
Yeah, like, it's going to be, they're going to clog the market.
I got no Joe.
Oh, he froze. I didn't see that.
Well, that's always fun. I think when he talked about everything going to 2021, he meant him too.
Yeah.
Hey there.
Hey, that was weird. My internet, like the router is, it doesn't matter. Moving forward.
So anyway, yeah, we'll see what Tenet does. I don't know how it has those kind of legs. And honestly, that sounds like the forecast from before the whole pandemic bit, but that article was just recently updated. So I think it'd be strange if they didn't revise it. So I don't know how it would get to 150 million.
My only thought is maybe they're thinking that there are a lot of people that want to see it that it will have longer legs because people, one, have fewer choices, obviously, as we've discussed repeatedly, but also the longer it stays in theater, maybe the safer people feel about it. Like when I see $25 million a week and I'm like, I am so glad I did not go to see that movie. But
yeah,
when it gets to like a $5 billion weekend, then maybe it's like, well, maybe I can thread the needle. You know what I mean? They think as the numbers decline, like that decline will maybe plateau at a lower level and hold there longer as people feel safer.
So you're saying like they consistently put up like $10 million weeks.
Yeah. I don't think they know. I don't think anyone obviously knows for sure with the way this thing's going. Like Joe said, I don't see it getting a lot better, but
yeah. And just sit there and churn at $8 to $10 million for 6 weeks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah.
Coming in at number two, The New Mutants, as I said, saving cinema. So they were first to do it. Tenet's just a copycat. Foxes, or Disney Foxes, 20th Studios, whatever you want to call them, New Mutants with 3.9 million, a 44% drop. So, I mean, that's a nice chunk of change for another week. It's The New Mutants. People didn't even think the movie existed.
Yeah.
Up until like so.
Yeah, it was all a joke. It was all a gag that they
right?
they just filmed like bits for the trailer.
Or like yeah, like an SNL skit. Yeah. And they're like, "Gotcha."
People are so confused about this New Mutant movie that they're actually demanding the Snyder cut.
Yeah. Well, he can do it if anyone can.
What?
The Trank cut.
Release
the Trank cut.
I mean, at this point, sure. You know, if Disney Plus is like, hey, we have the Josh Trank cut of Fantastic Four. All right.
Sure.
Hey, man.
Nothing else going on.
If we can get a new Godfather 3, then...
Okay. So I don't think I've ever actually watched that movie, like, all the way through.
Right.
So when they announced that, I was like, what is the... All right, I'm just going to watch it. I'm just going to watch it. And I did... And it's not terrible.
That movie's, I've always been, I hate to say a defender of that movie because, I mean, it's not great. But, like, honestly, I think that movie's biggest sin is that it's not one of the greatest movies of all time. Right?
I mean, like, yeah.
The first two are literally two of the greatest movies ever made in the history of American cinema.
Right.
And so when you make a third one, that's not that. I mean, we're lucky we got a movie as good as Godfather 2, right?
Yeah,
coming off
sure,
of Godfather
right.
1. And so to ask someone to make three all-time classics back to back to back within the same franchise, I mean, who do they think they are? Toy Story?
Yeah. Lord of the Rings.
Those movies are
all solid.
Yeah. I mean, name another movie outside of Toy Story that's really accomplished that.
Captain America.
Captain America, solid.
They're solid. Are they literally
no.
some of the best movies ever made? Like, if you're going to make
not.
A list of the top 10 films ever made, those movies are a blast, and I'm not disparaging them, but
sure.
like, but they're not. That you know what I mean?
No, I agree. I was just yeah.
And the second and third, I think, are even better. I like the first a lot, but I think
yeah.
the second and third are better films.
Yes.
I would agree. I would totally
so
agree. But
they improved upon themselves. It's a rare few. You're
yeah,
100%
but
right.
and I'm not saying that there aren't movie you know franchises where all three are good or whatnot. I'm saying are examples of the best American cinema in the history of filmdom. Like that's what Godfather 1 and 2 are. And
yep.
I mean, I haven't seen New Mutants 2 or 3 yet, so it's just
and
yeah,
nor will you. Nor will you. But
no,
you
it's a very weird it feels weird because it feels like they're trying to set up Andy Garcia to do a Godfather 4.
Yeah, I think they were. I think they were. Then, I think the studio had some sort of hope that they could spin this character off. And because they tried that before, right? The Sicilian technically takes place within the universe of The Godfather.
What is that?
Well, okay, so here, so The Sicilian is a Mario Puzo novel starring Christopher Lambert. In this, and I will say the director's cut is really good.
Yeah, okay. I've never seen it. I've read the book, but I never.
It's new. Like, it's a new thing. Like, it's probably been out 5 years, maybe.
Okay.
So,
oh,
so the director's, well, I mean, the movie is older, but they just released the director's cut on Blu-ray, and it's significantly better than
the Lambert cut.
The Lambert cut, yeah. But yeah, it is also set in that world.
I believe if it's been a long, I mean, I read the book in high school. That's how long ago I read the book. But if memory serves, it follows like one of the bodyguards who was protecting Michael during his exile in Sicily after he killed the police chief. And then it kind of follows his like rise to power.
Okay. In Sicily. Yeah.
In Sicily. Yeah.
Yeah. Because when you think Sicilian, you think, you know, the Highlander.
Yeah. But and then there were also years later, like in the early 2000s, they wrote a couple Godfather sequel
books. The Godfather
books.
Returns, which I think focuses on dang it, the big guy, Luca Brasi.
Yeah, that's right.
I think
it's
like a part of the
but
it's just when you watch it, you're like, "All right, it's not bad."
Yeah.
But you got some problems.
But so,
you got some issues.
So Coppola apparently is like, he's saying that there's going to be a new ending and a new beginning. Like it's there's a lot he wanted to do differently that he apparently there is footage for. And it sounds like it's going to be a pretty significantly different cinematic experience. So
I don't know. That ending is pretty. I don't know. I feel like the ending of that movie is what that ending needed to be.
I think a lot of it, like, when they flash forward to the death of Michael Corleone, it's also getting a new title. It's going to be called The Godfather Coda, The Death of Michael Corleone.
Which, that's just terrible.
Well, that's what he wanted to call it.
Not good.
That's what he wanted to call it the first time, and the studio wouldn't let him.
Well, first of all, it's going to be called Mario Puzo's The Godfather, comma, Coda, The Death of Michael Corleone. I mean, there's The Godfather Part 3, and then there's Mario Puzo's The Godfather, comma, Coda, The Death of Michael Corleone. Doesn't exactly roll right off the tongue.
Well, neither did, he's got a history of that, right? Let's not forget Francis Ford Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yes.
But it's he's doing this. He's been on a tear lately of you know, he did yet another re-edit of Apocalypse Now, and then
he did
is this like quarantine projects?
Coppola's got nothing else to do.
Yeah, so
drinking his wine, and
now there's a third version which is called The Final Cut, and then he also just did a re-edit of The Cotton Club, which
Think I've ever seen that.
So the Cotton Club was
That's the Richard Gere one, right?
Yeah, Richard Gere and Gregory Hines. I remember when it came out, it was like definitely like designed to be a prestige picture, and then it just tanked hard. And I saw it a million years ago on cable, but I've never... But I actually purchased on Vudu, I purchased the re-edit of the Cotton Club. Because it was on sale for like $5. I didn't even know there was one. And I was like, what? I'm like, okay, you got me. I haven't watched it yet. But supposedly it is a marked improvement over the original, because Coppola complained that the studio basically had him cut a lot of...
Gerbils?
The Cotton Club, for people that don't know, was about a jazz club during Prohibition that where all the performers were black. And so white people would go to see all these people who would go on to become legendary performers. And so then they kind of created this gangster story around it, and it would toggle back and forth between the stories of the black performers and the stories of the white gangsters.
Oh.
And because he was coming off Godfather 1 and 2, they pretty much just wanted the gangster stuff. And so they ended up making him cut a lot of the black storylines. And he was just like, well, this movie doesn't make any sense when you don't go back and forth. Like, that's the whole point. And so sounds like a lot of that has been restored.
Oh, that's cool. I think that's neat when directors get to see their vision and, you know, get all that studio meddling to the, you know, throw all that away. It's just neat.
You know, you also got to wonder with the way Godfather 3 ends, right?
Yeah.
You do that flash forward and you see, you know, an aging Michael Corleone in what you assume is the then present day, so circa 1990.
Yeah.
And he dies. And it's a cheesy death because it's such a mirror image of how Vito Corleone.
How Vito dies. Yeah.
Yeah, that you're just kind of like, really? That seems a bit on the nose. But you got to wonder, does he go get Pacino for a day
and shoot have him actually be that age? Like...
Right.
No, he'll find a way to de-age him. So we can just do all the...
He's not Scorsese.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. What was I thinking?
Who he wanted to direct Godfather 2. That was who he suggested. He didn't want to direct Godfather 2. He suggested to the studio that they get Scorsese. And he said, and the studio said no.
No, we'll take you.
Oh, that's...
You want to know another interesting tidbit I learned about The Godfather in the very long article about Coppola, or interview with Coppola. They wanted... When they were turning the book into a movie, they wanted to set it in the present day, the then present day, the 1970s, because it would have been cheaper. And they felt like there were too many New York movies, and so they wanted to change the location and move it to St. Louis, our hometown.
I mean, that could have worked.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I told Tom on the chat, I'm like, we're always getting screwed here. Two things. So Disney World was supposed to be in St. Louis before we moved it to Orlando. And The Godfather could have been set here. Two iconic things that, could you imagine if Disney World was here, how different the amount of money and tourism coming into St. Louis? Like,
yeah.
It, unbelievable how it could have changed the entire.
It also makes me wonder if Disney World was here, would we hate Disney?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I know a lot of people, like guests of the show a couple weeks ago, Jesse Malton and Leonard Malton. They live in California, and they live right by Disneyland. And I'm like, do you guys go all the time? We love Disney, and I would love to live there. And they're like, well, we reserve it for special occasions. We don't go all the time because we don't want it to turn into just another, like, right. I gave the example, Six Flags. Like, Six Flags for us is just like, oh, that's, you know.
I feel I've been to Disneyland twice. It's easier for us to get to Disney World in this part of the country, and I will say I feel like Disneyland feels to me a little bit like a Disney themed Six Flags. And I think it's two things. One, it's because it's so small because compared to Disney World, which I get, but the other thing too is I think there are a lot more locals that go to Disneyland.
It's mostly all, the majority is locals because it's not a tourist destination.
Right,
so,
not in the same way that Disney World is especially. And so at Disney World, everybody's there on vacation and they're in vacation mindset and they're like having a great time and they've been planning this for, you know, a year or more and they're just have a different a spirit about them, where when you go to Disneyland, it's a lot of people that are like, okay, we got to pound through this ride because I still got to be at work at 5. Like, it's, you know,
totally. Like a Six Flags mentality.
Yeah, the mood.
Get the corn dogs, whatever. Get on Mr. Freeze. And
yeah, the mood of the park is totally different than the mood of Disney World, which I found fascinating.
Well, when you're spending that much money and planning for years, like you said, Disney World is such a different, like, we're away from work. We're away from all our worries, and we're going to have a good time, and we're going to make it magical and the best thing ever. And, yeah, it's so different than let's just go to, you know, the park on Saturday to ride some rides and, you know, a couple hours. So Godfather 3, I get what you're saying. I've always been a detractor of Godfather 3. And the thing is, I didn't watch those in real time, and I'm not saying that you did. But
I did. Well, I didn't watch the first two in real time.
They
came out when I was 2 and 5.
Exactly.
Right? But I watched, I did see Godfather 3 in theaters. I mean, that was, that was their opening weekend, man.
Yeah, but so I discovered them 1, 2, 3 in a row on DVD, and, you know, after watching two of the greatest films of all time, I was like, this sucks. This is, and I've always compared it to Rocky V, where you just blow through all these movies, and then you're like, ugh, I don't care about this new guy coming in, and I, you know, I've always I've always not enjoyed it, and I think watching them like that, it's like binging shows or whatnot, yeah. Watching 1, 2, 3. So I am excited to see what Coppola does with this. I'm always welcome for movies that weren't that good but had potential. It's the same thing I say for remakes. If you've got a movie there and a bunch of footage and the studio made you do it one way and you've got a better story you want to tell, I'm all for it. Like, you know, it never... These remakes, director's cuts, they never take away the original stuff, so they're only extra. If you don't like it, fine. If you don't want to watch it, give it a shot, fine. But, I mean, why not?
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
hey, Joe's back.
Oh, hi.
Hey, Joe, do you know where The Godfather was originally supposed to be set?
St. Louis.
Yeah. How'd you know that?
We didn't know how much of that you heard.
All of it.
Oh, you heard all of it?
Yeah.
Oh, you weren't here.
So I heard up until the St. So, I mean, the St. Louis thing makes sense. Like, there was a massive mafia presence in St. Louis in the 60s and 70s.
I always think Chicago way more than St. Louis.
Totally. But... No, that makes sense. But there, I mean, if you can, there's, there was like a war that happened, like, in the city. There's an infamous story about a guy named Paulie, whose nickname became Paulie Parts. Because they found parts of him over here, and they found parts of him over there after a car bombing. Like, that's a real story.
Oh, geez. Well, good thing that you're on the show where they can't touch us, right?
No, you're fine. La Casa Nostra is not real.
So, coming in at number 3, because New Mutants, you know, unfortunately didn't take the number 1 spot from Tenet, but did pretty well. Number 3, Unhinged, that we talked about earlier, another $2.2 million this weekend, so... Talk about why. I mean, third week in release during a pandemic, another $2.2 million's found money. If they went straight to VOD, they would just get that VOD crowd anyway. So
yeah,
why not? They say by the end of this 4-day weekend, it'd be sitting at around $11.7 million. So, you know, it's just like the straight-to-video stuff. We talked about Planes being a straight-to-video and then releasing in theaters. Like, why not? Give it a shot on theaters. If people show up, great. With digital distribution, it's so cheap to put movies out now. It's not like you're hiring the dude with the briefcase and the handcuffs attached to the film reel. Remember how they used to like have to guard those film reels with their lives and drive around the country and distribute them. So it's such a different game now. And it was a smart move. And Joe, did you see Unhinged?
No.
And Tom, did you end up for the radio?
I did not. It? I ended up.
Oh, you never saw it. Okay.
I never did.
I think Joe, especially, I think you'd really like it.
Did you see it?
Yeah. Yeah, I reviewed it. There's a review on Review STL. I reviewed a written review. It's pretty much a horror movie. It's a thriller, but he is a killer like Jason or Michael Myers. He is stalking this woman. It's a road rage incident that just goes terribly insane. And
to me, it looked like Falling Down meets Duel.
Yeah, Falling Down because of the fed up nature and being so sick. That's what propels him. Like, road rage, obviously, first of all, is bad all the time. But second of all, even if you do have road rage, you shouldn't then be setting out to kill people.
Right.
So the Falling Down is like the him fed up and all that. But really, it's a thriller, but there are so many horror elements. Like, make a mistake, it's this down and dirty little horror movie disguised as a thriller suspense movie. And I think you'd really like it for that reason.
Okay. I mean, Russell Crowe's one of those guys that I feel like has given up in, like, going after prestige roles. He's kind of just like, you want to pay me to be Dr. Jekyll? Okay. You want to, you know, like, so if he's in a movie, like, he's not a draw for me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like he used to be.
Sure.
I don't know when that switch happened. Maybe it was the whole Meg Ryan thing, because he stopped, like, doing Oscar-winning roles.
Well, you don't just get to go to the Oscar-winning role store. Like,
yeah, but
you
can be more selective about what you're doing.
Yeah, you can certainly be selective, but there's a lot of things that
you don't know, though. I mean, it's the roll of the dice. Like, actors got to eat, and they take these roles, and sometimes you hope, like, we know they swing for the fence, and you could tell a movie that's supposed to be Oscar bait, and it ends up failing, and then you take a couple to pay the bills, and then you get a divorce and have to pay out half your... I mean, you know, stuff happens, and it's not like, yeah, I mean, every actor would just choose the Oscar-winning roles if they could. But
well, what I don't mean, I guess, not Oscar winning roles, but maybe not Dr. Jekyll.
But look at all the people in the Dark Universe, right?
That was gonna be a thing. Yeah, that was gonna be like a recurring,
if you're like, hey, do you want your Marvel Universe?
I feel like on paper I think lots of really good name actors would have. I mean, they, you know, they got Tom Cruise to sign on for that. You know what I mean?
That's true. That's
like
true.
This movie star out there.
Yeah. So, I mean,
I mean, they didn't get The Rock.
Well, he's not that tall, but I mean, yeah, he's a big movie star.
But yeah, so it's like, it's certainly a paycheck movie, but as paycheck movies go, they were trying to come up with the horror equivalent of the Marvel Universe. On paper, yeah. That sounds pretty cool if they could have pulled it off.
Yeah, it's a shame that movie.
Now Blumhouse says, I got it.
But that movie single-handedly killed the entire Dark Universe. Like, how crazy is that you get Tom Cruise and Jake Johnson was the... Yeah. Was he the friend in that? Like, he's really funny. But you get Tom Cruise to kick off your cinematic universe based on a beloved franchise and the universe.
Well, okay. The Mummy isn't a beloved franchise. Like, it's like...
How is it not beloved?
It's like the fourth tier of the Universal Mon. Like, you know, it's Frankenstein, Dracula, the Wolfman, the Creature from the Black Lagoon, the Creature from the Black Lagoon sequel, the Wolfman sequel, Abbott and Costello, then the Mummy.
Yeah, I think the Mummy ranks a little higher than that. But
no, he does. But
I'm
he's
talking about
not.
The Brendan Fraser stuff. I'm talking
but
about...
That's different. That's
yeah,
not...
but they're still rebooting that franchise, though. Like, they're
no, right... no. That Mummy franchise that they were rebooting was the original Universal Monster franchise. It was that the Mummy with Brendan Fraser is a completely different movie. Like, that's like action and with a mummy twist. They wanted to do the Wolfman and Frankenstein and Dracula. That Mummy is very different from the Mummy from the Brendan Fraser version.
What I'm saying is the Mummy franchise with Brendan Fraser made more money than any of those other franchises.
I agree.
And they wanted a chance to reboot the Mummy, and, you know, with that one being the most popular, they started with that. They got Tom Cruise attached, and they totally screwed the pooch. It's just crazy to think they did that. They had plans for an entire universe, and that movie's so bad that... Ugh.
It's weird. They had plans for an entire universe, but none of them... They hadn't even talked about the big three. Like, it wasn't... there was, like, the Johnny Depp Invisible Man, I think. And then there was something else. Oh, there's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Been one, yeah.
But it was just, like, no Frankenstein, no Wolf. Like, your three big heavy hitters, they're just like, whatever. We'll get to it.
I think they wanted to come at it sideways the same way that, you know, I think they felt like if they do a Mummy movie and they don't get it quite right, people aren't going to be as outraged as if they do a Frankenstein movie and they don't get
That's
it quite
probably
right.
True.
And so it was like, hey, let's kind of get our universe established and take do our growing pains with the lesser stuff and then bring in Frankenstein and Dracula, and you know what I mean, which I think shows a certain amount of smarts. I think that makes sense. It's just because it's like, imagine, as bad as that Mummy movie is, imagine if they had done that to Frankenstein.
Sure. I mean, it would totally killed it, for sure.
Frankenstein, I think, is a really hard movie to do in modern
times.
It's
very hard.
They've tried to. I mean, if you think about the Universal Monsters movies, as much as we love them, and I know Joe loves them and, you know, more than anyone, and Tom loves them, and Dan's not here, but I can hear him talking about how much he loves them from here. But, I mean, those movies were made in a different time. Like, they're great, but they're also were made in the time of their era. And so trying to in 2020 come out with a Frankenstein and take that seriously, you have to really be careful with how you handle it, because it's either going to come out really cheesy or it's going to be completely different than the source material, and then people are going to get mad that
that's the thing, right? Is the Boris Karloff one is very different from the source material.
Yeah.
It's the Mary Shelley's Frankenstein that came out in like the early 90s was closer to the source material than the Boris Karloff version. So it's tricky, because remember we had that, what was that one with Aaron Eckhart that was like I Frankenstein?
Oh, yeah.
Remember? Like, that's...
I remember.
Yeah.
Tom and I saw it in the theater together.
That's bad news.
We showed up to the same theater, not even planning it. Crystal was there.
Right. Like, it was just you guys in the theater?
Pretty much.
There was, like, one other person there. But I'll never forget it, because, like, I remember looking at Tom. We just did the thing, like, it was so cringeworthy.
But yeah, like, I totally agree with you, Kevin. Like, Dracula is an easy thing to do. The Wolfman is an easy thing to set in 2020.
Yeah, you can do a horror wolf. You can do vampire movies, but yeah. Frankenstein.
But Frankenstein's going to be difficult.
Yeah, it's definitely tough. But yeah, I was looking it up. Those Mummy movies, each of them, even the third one, all made over $400 million
worldwide.
The
one with Jet Li. The third one with Jet Li.
I believe so, yeah, because Scorpion, yeah. The Scorpion King was the bad guy in the second, right? The Mummy Returns.
Correct.
So yeah, over $400 million, and you're talking
those
about
those
things
early... were juggernauts, and they're good. Those first two movies are real massively amounts of fun.
Yes, absolutely. The third one was just a cash grab. You could tell anybody wanted to be there.
But The Mummy and then Pirates of the Caribbean all around that same time. Like, I miss those big, epic, wide-scope action movies. Everything now, I mean, I know that Marvel movies have become the new action blockbuster, but those are, I feel like, in their own little genre. I know, not little, but they're in their own genre. They're their own, you know, superhero movies. Okay, fine. But I want a pirate movie or a monster adventure movie.
Jumanji was kind of like that.
Yeah, Jumanji is similar, I guess. It's just, I guess, because it's still based. Yeah, it's based in the game thing. So it's a little, but you're right. It's close. But I miss those movies where you just go on this epic adventure, this big
national treasure.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of in the same vein. I guess the Bruckheimer type movies, those adventure like Pirates was. So anyway, but yeah, we'll see what Blumhouse does. I agree. I'm excited. I mean, anytime you attach Blumhouse to those properties, he's done pretty well. He has like two misses and that's it.
Yeah. And those aren't even technically misses. Like, they're just like
not financially, but
right. Yeah. But no, yeah. Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're right. And then, there's only a couple more in theaters. Like we said, Unhinged was 2.2. So it's about 12 after the 4-day weekend. Bill and Ted Face the Music, the movie from last, week's podcast, another 835,000 estimated for the 4-day, which will put it up over $2.3 million total so far. So, I mean, again, found money. You're talking about it was on VOD at the same time, and $2.5 million worth of people were like, I'm going to the theater. I'm going
have
to the
we heard anything about how much money it might have made on VOD?
The people at United Artists said, insiders that have people, whatever, their sources say they don't expect to ever get the numbers from that.
That's so weird.
Number one on all the charts, but yeah, I don't think they're going to release it. Not like Universal did. So I don't know why. I mean, if it was big enough, I think they'd probably brag about it, but I'm guessing that it's big, you know, it's really good numbers for streaming, but I'm guessing it's not anything that will like beat the Trolls record. So they don't want to come out with a number that's like, we did half of Trolls too. Like, what would that, they've got the money. They don't really need to brag about that. So anyway, we'll have to see if anything comes up, but not that I know.
So here's the question I have about that is, so we know that Trolls, but Bill and Ted isn't going to make Trolls money anyway.
Right, exactly. I was thinking the same thing. Like, even if you were just doing standard box office reports, it was never going to do what Trolls did. It's just not built to.
Yeah. No. It's got a, I wouldn't say, well, I guess it was built for a certain group of people.
Right.
But I feel like it has broken out of that mold. I feel like it was there's nothing, lighthearted comedy is non-existent right now. So I feel like you would have gotten the people that were going to see it anyway, and then maybe it would have broken out of that, and people are just like, yeah, man, it's just a good, fun movie, and then it would have had another influx of people seeing it.
But here's the deal. I think the only thing holding that back, I agree that you are getting some of that. I think the majority is going to be the diehards, and they are going to go to the theater as well when they can, or the drive-ins. But there's something on Netflix every week that fits that bill.
Oh, that's fair.
That's the problem. The lighthearted comedies, and not to mention Hulu and Disney Plus and Peacock and all that stuff has all these offerings. But, you know, people that want that type of movie, I think they just wait for Netflix. That's kind of the mentality. So you have to really want to spend $25 to rent it. You got to really want to see the movie to spend that type of money, because I think they're just like, well, you know, 20 things came out on Netflix this week.
Right.
That's the problem you're going to start running into. Is it's like they're coming out with all this content. They're releasing, a couple hundred things a year over there.
Constantly,
I mean, there are so many things to watch and to play this weekend. Just off the top of my head, I'm thinking, so there was Mulan. I'm thinking of Ending Things, which is the new Charlie Kaufman movie on Netflix. So you've got the Personal History of David Copperfield, which is the fifth movie in the box office for $450,000, and they think we'll make just over a little over a million at the end of the 4-day weekend. That's the one with Dev Patel, based on the Charles Dickens novel David Copperfield.
That is the one movie that's not coming out this year, is the Green King, that I'm super bummed.
People
I'm
are like,
super bummed that that's not coming
but
out.
But you know what? I think it would have if people bought the other A24 stuff. See, A24, they did a test.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, their test was, what was the last A24 that just came out? So you can't even think of it. What was the one they released? Oh, crap. I'm totally.
I didn't know they had done a test.
They did.
To see if people would pull the trigger on it?
To see our First Cow.
Oh, well, okay.
First Cow was...
No, First Cow, I know that sounds like a dumb title, Joe, but First Cow, I haven't seen it, but like the reviews and audience reaction to it have been off the charts.
Really? For film fans, First Cow, 96% on Rotten Tomato, 89%, meaning that it averages an 89 out of 100 with critics.
Wow. 137
reviews on Rotten Tomatoes to get that score. So, like, it's unbelievably reviewed film. You know, I have to admit, I haven't seen it. But that was the one where I think A24 is like, look, we've got this thing that's reviewed like crazy. People love it, and people put it on their best films of the year list. Yeah. Like, incredible movie, and I think that if First Cow, even though it's a little different genre, but still, I think if A24 was like, yeah, we can do VOD, then the Green Knight would be...
Oh, man, that trailer, and I was like, yeah, dude, I don't know what the hell's going on in this movie, but sign me up.
That's the other Dev Patel movie, because trailers dropped for The Green Knight and Personal History of David Copperfield at the same time.
Yeah, that's right. They did, yeah.
The Dev Patelissance is upon us. And so, but anyway, so if you want to see that, and I really do want to see the David Copperfield movie, and he's a great actor, so I'm excited to see that. That's out this weekend. But you do have to pay for that, so that is a VOD. But there's so much stuff coming out. It's crazy. I mean, there's little movies that we haven't even mentioned. And then when you talk about video games, so the Avengers game came out this weekend, which is like the first serious, legitimate, open-world story Avengers game. It looks awesome. I haven't played it yet. I did pre-order it.
It's not doing all that great in reviews. Like some people are not happy with it.
I think the CG isn't as good as they want, and people are expecting
to
see...
Awful.
People are expecting to see the movies, and it's like, well,
that was a weird choice.
They didn't make the characters look like the movies. Probably because they would have to pay a bundle to the MCU actors. But from what I've played, I played the beta and I played the opening of the game, and I thought it was solid. I'm going to give it a shot. And then the big one for me, at least, was Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2.
Yeah, dude.
So good. I mean, those games are reviewed as still the greatest games of all time.
Yeah, because they are.
The original PlayStation.
Can you play as Spider-Man?
No, Jack
Damn
Black. Jack Black.
No,
is an
I don't want
character.
You on. You got Spider-Man and Darth Maul.
I know
on
I don't,
those games at one point.
But those games for the PS4 and Xbox One, like the graphics are incredible, and the gameplay is just as good. You can play online now. You have all these challenges and leaderboards and stuff. So if you're a gamer, it was a busy weekend as well. So there's so much stuff coming out. It's crazy. But pretty much that's the box office, because that's what's out at the theater. And VOD numbers, I mean, are virtually non-existent. So I really wish we had that to tell, because I don't know, maybe someday, maybe if VOD becomes a bigger thing, maybe they will give it to us. I mean, the biggest movie of the week probably, by my guess, would be Mulan, and it's our movie we're talking about.
I don't know how it couldn't be.
Like, yeah,
right,
I agree.
And that's the most expensive VOD purchase out there, but it's a Disney Plus subscription type of add-on, so there's no way we'll ever... I mean, unless Disney somehow in their next quarterly earnings sneaks in something that people can tell, like... I don't know how we would ever find out. So the VOD numbers are tricky. They don't really...
Yeah, I don't know. Since they're publicly traded, you would think this information would come out in some capacity at some point, right?
Well, if it does really well and they want to boost their stock, they can announce it. But the thing is, when they do their quarterly earnings, they break it down by like theme parks, sports, home video, DVD. So it will just be a home video is up 10% this quarter kind of thing. Unless they are like, hey, we've got this new thing called premium access and 50 million people did it, and so we made an extra $200 million from one movie. like if that happened, yeah, you'd be hearing about it.
Yeah, I mean maybe they don't consider it home video. Maybe they bundle it into their Disney Plus numbers.
Disney Plus numbers, yeah.
Right, and then it would be like, oh, Disney Plus is up 15%, and they'll say in the report like due to blah 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 and Mulan Premium Max. So it's going to be impossible to know what it does, but you have to imagine that's the number one VOD. But by how much, who knows?
Yeah, totally.
All of it.
So, yeah. So that's the box office.
Well, thank you, Gavin.
You're welcome.
So I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. You can follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Find the show online, facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And of course, wherever you're getting your podcast from, be sure and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And we're available on Patreon, patreon.com/Real Spoiler. So that's it for this one. Coming up on the next one, we will tackle a new release 2 weeks in a row.
Woo. Woo!
Do we have the stamina? Do we have the stamina? You will have to wait for Kevin to edit, and then you'll find out. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time, you've been warned.
There have been many tales
of a warrior.
She is our protector.
I'm Hua Mulan.
Rated PG-13.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.